You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
So Netflix started streaming in 2007. That's that's 17 years now. I think I've had Netflix for, 10 years, 12 years. In the span of 24 hours this weekend, I saw the worst thing Netflix has ever done and the best. I saw on Saturday night, don't ask me why, I clicked on the new Jerry Seinfeld movie, Unfrosted. Now, I like Seinfeld. I loved the show. He's a funny man. This is such a disaster. It is so unbelievably cringy. It is 96 minutes of cringe. It's not funny. It's not witty. It's not creative. It's just so unbelievably bad. It's getting 40-something on Rotten Tomatoes. It should get zero. It's almost so bad that you can't stop watching because you can't believe Jerry Seinfeld and this cast of stars, friends of Jerry, are in it. It's a story about Post versus Kellogg's in the race to make the Pop-Tart, but it's so incredibly awful. I can't believe Seinfeld did that and said, yeah, let's put it out there. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I just don't get the humor, but again, I like Seinfeld. I guess he really needs Larry David by his side, because without Larry David, it was just a disaster. But we don't want to get bogged down in the negatives, in the thumbs downs here. We're going to go thumbs up big time. Last night at 8 o'clock, I said, let me check out this Tom Brady roast. Seems like kind of a good idea. Bringing all these stars, all these comedians, all these football players. Let me see how it goes. 3 hours later, I was absolutely stunned and amazed at how good it was, how entertaining, how funny, and how dangerous. They went over the line, over and over again. If you want to see what humor, what jokes are supposed to be in this day and age, you've got to see it. I'm going to say 50 jokes that I said, whoa, I cannot believe he said that. I thought it might be entertaining. It might be okay. It was the best thing Netflix has ever done. In fact, it was the best thing I've ever seen on television. In fact, it's the best thing in the history of the world. This was so great. I can't tell you. I know we disagree on some of the comedians, Ironhead. Mm-hmm. But let me just say, nobody totally bombed. Ben Affleck was bad. Ben Affleck was on something. He was just awkward and uncomfortable. But there was no one who I said, man, that person shouldn't be up there. That person is so bad. It was exactly what a roast is supposed to be. They absolutely torched Brady. And they went to places I never thought they'd go. I mean, they joked about his relationship with Bridget Moynihan and knocking up Bridget Moynihan and then leaving her. They joked about Giselle over and over again. Giselle dumping him for a karate instructor, a jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, everybody did it. They just kept making joke after joke about Brady. Most of them were about the fact that Brady couldn't take him in a fight, that Giselle's new boyfriend would kick his ass. But one after another went after Brady in really uncomfortable and dangerous ways. It was wonderful, I'm telling you. And it was stunning, the people who showed up. I don't remember being as shocked watching something on TV as I was when Bill Belichick took the stage, I was sitting there thinking, who should be there? Who's not here that should be there? I can't come up with anybody. Who do you think should have been there and didn't come? Who was invited and said, no thanks? If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it, obviously. But you will not experience the shock that we did last night, because Belichick shows up, Peyton Manning shows up, Bob Kraft was front row center, and it was really awkward at times. We're still not sure about this, but the biggest takeaway today, as far as I can tell, is that Jeff Ross was mocking Kraft, making a joke about Kraft getting a massage, and Brady got up out of his seat. The one time he did this, went up to Ross and said, don't do that. Don't. So was that planned? Was that part of the show? Or was that real? I thought it was real initially. Like, we agreed not to make fun of Bob Kraft. But then Julian Edelman takes the stage and makes a joke about Kraft's funeral. What's worse, making a joke about the massage thing or about him dying? Because Edelman, I'm going to give you my ranks. And I know Ironhead and I disagree on some of these. But the best roaster, the best performance, in my opinion, was by far Julian Edelman. And I give points to the athletes, the football players, coaches, give them extra points because they're not professionals. The comedians are professionals, professional roasters. These guys had to be nervous as hell. Some of them appeared to be drunk as hell. But I think most of them, if not all of them, exceeded my expectations. And Edelman just crushed it. He mocked Belichick spectacularly. But I will just tell you the best joke of the night, in my opinion. The one that made me laugh the loudest was Edelman, who was just feeling it. He looked so comfortable. And again, they appeared to have glasses full of tequila. That's what it appeared to be. Kevin Hart made a reference to it, some real good tequila. And Brady in the past has said that that's his drink of choice when he drinks. So I think Brady, Edelman, Gronk, I think they were all enjoying their tequila. But Julian Edelman, there were lots of Jewish jokes about Jeff Ross, about Julian Edelman, about, you know, and just Jewish people. And Edelman gets up there. We don't have this, but I will tell you what he said. He said, he and Jeff Ross are both Jewish. He said, Edelman said, I'm the kind of guy people say, wow, I didn't know you were Jewish. Jeff Ross, he said, is the kind of Jewish person who makes you want to join Hamas. Just so you know, quick recap of things they said that made you go, wow, cringy, you know, offensive things. I mean, nothing offended me, but he makes a joke about Hamas. Tom Brady made a joke about 9/11. I'm not sure if these things are all run by the censors, the Netflix censors. Hell, Dana White attacked Netflix for being a bunch of freaking woke liberals, which is pretty great, on Netflix live. And Dana White seemed genuinely pissed that they only gave him 1 minute to speak. I think he's right about that. Dana White deserved more time, and Andrew Schultz deserved less time. Come on. Ironhead's favorite, Kill Tony, deserved less time. Kill Tony had like half an hour. Dana White gets 1 minute. But my rankings, the best, Julian Edelman. The second best, Nikki Glaser, who was spectacular. I was immediately, you know, Googling, trying to find, you know, her next special or last special or whatever, her next live performance. Because, man, she was great. She just shredded Brady and went to all those places, you know, about the divorce and you know, Bridget Moynihan and everything else. She was great. And Belichick, when he came out, was really awkward. And I said, whoa, maybe Belichick will bomb. And won't that be something? He didn't bomb. Again, the bar's low. Bill Belichick's a 73-year-old coach. And I didn't expect much from him. He was great. He was great. They were all great, except Ben Affleck. Gronk was a little over the top, as you'd expect. Spiking the shot glass and shattering it was just stupid. Gronk was other than Brady, Gronk took more hits than anyone. Everybody went after Gronk and how stupid he is, which was great. But then he went on stage And what he did was try to live up to those expectations, show everybody just how dumb he is. That was a little, you know, over the, and he couldn't even read.
No.
He was struggling to read the teleprompter. And he was probably, you know, just wasted, but he was okay. He did what they wanted him to do. He got goofy and crazy and wacky. I would say Randy Moss was probably the worst of the athletes, of the players. And the best was Edelman. And Drew Bledsoe was great. He started things off and he brings up his wine. And apparently he had a few bottles, but he was much better than I thought. And Peyton Manning was good. The players, the athletes were great. They were great. The comedians, I'm sorry, I don't care about, Kill Tony going up there to talk about how short Kevin Hart is. How many ways can you say Kevin Hart is short?
The Kevin Hart short joke was a setup for a perfect Aaron Hernandez joke. That was the whole point.
I loved all the Aaron Hernandez jokes. Let me read you this tweet from this ESPN guy. I think he covers Ohio State. I knew this was coming. I was looking for it this morning, and I knew it was coming. This is a guy named Sam Block. His bio says he's ESPN Ohio State. He says all the thoughts on this page are my own. Well, that's good to know. And he writes, he wrote this at 1 a.m. So right after watching the show, I can't imagine watching this and allowing yourself to be offended. I mean, that's the whole point, stupid, is to be offended, is to offend people like you. And boy, they succeeded in triggering Sam Block. This little snowflake says, jokes about 9/11 are not funny. Jokes about LGBTQ are not funny. Jokes about murder are not funny. Jokes about sexual assault are not funny. The Tom Brady roast was disgusting, says this guy. Yes, it was disgusting and it was hilarious. The funniest parts are the ones that upset people like Sam Block. And I think we're going to get a lot more Sam Blocks because this thing is blowing up. I mean, we don't have numbers yet. This has to be the biggest thing Netflix has ever done. It has to be. I can't imagine. I mean, I've seen all the, you know, lots of the stand-ups, Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr and lots of big shows. This was live and uncensored, clearly. I can't imagine anything will be bigger in the history of Netflix. And I've never seen anything funnier. I've never seen anything. You know what? Tom Brady just rules the world. Tom Brady is so big right now. He's selling out the Los Angeles Forum. He's getting all the big stars to show up. Hell, there were people in the audience. You didn't even get a chance to speak or acknowledge them who were big stars, who just wanted to be there. See Charles Woodson, like in the front row. I'm saying, and then you got all these football players who didn't speak, who just showed up, just wanted to be part of this. Brady is going to be responsible for the biggest night Netflix has ever had. And everyone gave him credit. You got to give him credit. He knew what was going to happen here. He knew they'd be making jokes about him knocking up Bridget Moynihan and about Giselle's new boyfriend and about how he looks weird. I mean, he looks good, but let's be honest, he looks weird. And everyone just called him, you know, said he's in the closet. Everyone knows he's gay and he and Edelman are lovers. And all these jokes, these LGBTQ jokes, which would clearly offend many people in the media and not, you know, outside. And they went there anyway. This feels like a line has been crossed. A breaking point has been reached. Feels like we're going back to when comedy was dangerous. We hear so much about how comedians can't be funny anymore. Seinfeld talked about this 2 weeks ago. We talked about it. He said, you know, the woke left has ruined comedy. Well, this felt like a 3-hour middle finger to the woke left. It was a bunch of football players and comedians just going places on Netflix live that you previously had not been, places you were not allowed to go. And they went there over and over again. I'm telling you, this feels like a turning point that maybe someone watching, maybe LeBron James, we'll agree to do this. And they'll do it all over again. And people will just go at LeBron James the way they went at Tom Brady. Brady is a great sport for doing this. And by the way, when Brady took the stage, I was nervous. I said, he's not going to be able to handle this. He's not going to be able to give it back like he got it. He did. He started off a little slow. And then he went with the 9/11 joke, which was incredible. There, you know what? Jokes that are funny are funny. I don't care. I mean, you can make a joke about Hitler, right? People do it all the time, make a joke about Hitler. So why can't you make a joke about 9/11? Why can't you make a joke about LGBTQ, Sam Block? Why not? If it's funny, if it's not funny, fine. Say it sucked. Say it was terrible. But if it's funny, and most of the jokes were pretty damn funny, there were a lot of jokes about Brady's penis, let's be honest. If it's funny, it's funny. And it was hilarious. I feel bad for people like this. They watched this and they got offended. That's the whole point, stupid, to offend people like you. Do we have Brady's 9/11 joke?
Yep.
We have lots of clips. Ironhead's been working hard, but some of them get taken down. Netflix doesn't want you to see them. Some of them are recorded on people's cell phones. But we have some of the highlights, and some we could play, some we cannot. But this was top of the list of jokes where I said, I can't believe he said that. I mean, everything Nikki Glaser says, I say, I can't believe she just said that. And by the way, Jeff Ross was great. He's great at this. This is what he does. He gives it out. He dishes it out and he takes it. But his entrance, I don't think you have this right, Ironhead.
No, it's not online.
Entrance was spectacular. Jeff Ross entered the stage as O.J. Simpson. What was it called? Roast J. Simpson or something on his shirt. He comes out in a bloody O.J. Simpson jersey and gloves, you know, leather gloves that don't fit. And he looks over at the Patriots and he says, Aaron Hernandez says hello. I think that was the first Aaron Hernandez joke.
Yeah.
But it was spectacular. And I hope it offended lots of people because it was great. He's great at this. He really is. I asked you before, like, if he just does stand up, is Jeff Ross good? Because he's a great roaster.
Yeah, the roasting is definitely his strongest suit. He does a show with Dave Attell that's not very good, which is unfortunate. But yeah, this is definitely where he's his best.
Oh, he was good. And he got abused because he's so goofy looking. But he'd never stop laughing. But let's watch. I don't know if it's cringy. Is this cringy? You know what's cringy? The Seinfeld movie. That's cringy. Brady is, I mean, it was funny. And it was dangerous. And I felt like Tom Brady just went there. This was good. Go ahead.
The rest of America will always remember where I was that fateful day in September of 2001, when tragically those two jets slammed into Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, man. It was interesting watching some people who didn't laugh at some things. I mean, that's how roasts work, where some people don't like it and they get offended, like Kim Kardashian. She got abused. But first of all, I give her credit for showing up knowing she's going to get abused. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, your pal Kill Tony made fun of her vagina. That's great. Wonderful. And then who said that she was worried because her kids were with their father?
That was Brady.
That was Brady. That was Brady. Brady was good, man. He was good. And the Belichick Brady stuff. I mean, I know this is Patriots porn that Patriots fans appreciate mm-hmm. more. And maybe that's the way I look at it. I wanted more of that and less of Kill Tony, because the whole dynamic with all the Patriots and Brady and Edelman and Belichick and Kraft was incredible. I mean, I don't even know if it was real. When Kraft took the stage and wanted to do a shot with Belichick, and Belichick came over and he played along. Did Belichick look like he was enjoying that?
Nope.
No. And everyone was like taking screenshots and say, look at Belichick's face. But I got to give Belichick credit, man. He got abused. A lot of jokes about him not having a job. Mm-hmm. And he just kept laughing along. He looked like he was having a good time. He really did, which I didn't think he was capable of. Oh, this could be. Yes, this was Brady's second best joke. And it was also very uncomfortable. If you haven't seen it yet, there's Ring doorbell footage of Belichick sneaking out doing the walk of shame. I believe this is in Nantucket, correct?
I believe so.
Sneaking out of some lady's home earlier.
Everybody asked.
You know what? I should have played this video because this video is hilarious.
If it had the visual aid.
A shirtless Bill Belichick. Yeah, why didn't they play this video? Shirtless Bill Belichick crawling out of some woman's place at the crack of dawn. God, can you play this? Because I hadn't seen this.
Oh, you want the joke or the Belichick video first?
No, the Belichick video first.
All right.
It's just incredible. This hasn't been seen enough.
It's just no, it hasn't.
Here it is, a ring cam video. He looks naked at first, but then you can see his shorts. He's got no shirt.
His barrel He's chest.
Sneaking out the back door. And he takes a big deep breath. And he heads home. Now, he's single. He's not cheating, as far as I know, on anybody. I think he broke up with his lady friend. But that is just classic right there. And Ben Brady did not. He's the only one who mentioned it, by the way. He did not let this go. He went there. Let's watch Brady.
Everybody asks me which ring is my favorite. I used to say the next one. But now that I'm retired, my favorite ring is the camera that caught Coach Belichick slinking out of that poor girl's house at 6 a.m. a few months ago. Hey, you still got it.
Didn't that offend Sam Block too?
Probably.
Belichick laughs. He laughs. But that was great. And you know what? Brady could go in. He could say anything about anyone because he got abused for 3 hours. Mm. And they mocked him for everything. Everything. And I mean, my wife kept watching saying, are his kids watching? You know,
I know.
Brady's kids, they're old enough to watch. They probably watch Netflix every night. Are they watching this?
Yeah, they're probably old enough to watch, but they're also young enough to, you know, hear some of those karate instructor jokes and be like, what's that?
There's so many jokes about the karate instructor and Brady and Giselle. Giselle, I guess, that's the one person who didn't show who would have been, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
If she were like front row center.
Yep.
And I'm sure she was invited. I mean, everyone was invited, but can you think of anybody who you said, boy, he should be there?
I mean, like there were some players I was kind of surprised weren't sitting in the back, I guess, but no one that would be on the dais.
Yeah, I'm sure that was interesting. Which guys you picked to be on the Nate Solder's on the dais and all these other players are out in the audience. And
I don't care who it would have been. I just wish that a lineman got up there to just talk
Matt
about
Light would have been good.
Matt Light or Logan Mankins or somebody.
Matt Light would have been good. He would have been better than Randy Moss. But, yeah. You know, Moss was good because he was all his jokes about the fact that he didn't win a ring.
Yeah.
You know, Brady, 3 years with Brady, never won a ring. He went 16-0 and didn't win a ring. And Brady's got, you know, 8 rings and a lot of jokes about giving one back. And he has, you know, the joke was Brady has whatever. He's got 7 rings. So he has 8 because Giselle gave one back.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. That's good. But Ironhead, I tweeted this and all your people were upset, but I felt like Kill Tony and Andrew Schultz just went on too long. I'm like, okay, enough jokes about Nikki Glaser, you know, being a whore and about Kevin Hart being short.
But that's how can the we get back the to the, works.
To the Patriots. Can we get back, you know? Peyton Manning or even Ben Affleck was one of those deals where he was so bad it was almost good. You know, he was like on something.
Yeah.
And he was not lighthearted. He was kind of like serious and he just destroyed Belichick. And I don't think Belichick was laughing at Ben Affleck. I'm not sure if they all get together afterwards, you know, the post-show party. Mm-hmm. But if there was tension there, it would be either Belichick and Kraft or Belichick and Ben Affleck because Affleck was mean, man. And I don't know if Kraft showed up, but that'll be a lot of speculation. Was Kraft and Belichick, was this real? Were they really, you know, having a good time or was there real hate in the
air? I think Belichick did that shot because he was live on television and knew what it would look like if he said no.
Yeah, he's smart, man. He's so smart, and he knows.
Yeah.
But he did it. I mean, when he showed up, I couldn't believe it. I did not see that coming. I really didn't. But most of Nikki Glaser, we can't play because she was great.
I got a good Bledsoe joke here.
But you know what? I watched the 2-minute video of Kill Tony. Mm-hmm. It was lame. It was lame.
Jerry, was the standing ovation the entire arena gave him after? Just like it was that bad that everyone got up to leave or got up to cheer?
Sebastian Maniscalco gets standing ovations.
Sebastian.
He's never said anything funny in his life. That's me. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with that part. But
I'm not going to say Kill Tony or Andrew Schultz bombed. They didn't bomb.
They were the two best sets.
Okay, can you just move on? I'm ready to hear from whoever. I'm ready to hear from the next surprise guest.
Hey, Kill Tony, can you stop making me laugh and put Randy Moss on stage, please?
I could cut this thing down to 2 hours easily. Yeah. And I'd still give Dana White more than 1 minute. All right, what else we got besides...
Here's Bledsoe. I think this was one of the first, if not the first, Giselle joke here.
He was very good.
So, hey, look, buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
He was good, man. And he had the advantage of going first.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So the jokes about Brady's divorce, there was a million of them, but he got to start, which was good. And I'm sure whoever coordinated this was worried that it would get redundant. And it sort of did at times. Gronk was redundant. It was most of the stuff you'd heard it all before. Mm-hmm. Jokes about, Brady and Alex Guerrero. Oh, by the way, this was my second favorite joke of the night. And I don't think we have it. We probably can't play it anyway. But Julian Edelman, he just shredded Belichick. But then he mentions Alex Guerrero, who was in the front row laughing his ass off. I'll give Guerrero credit. He was mocked and he was having a good time. Julian Edelman says, if you don't know who Alex Guerrero is, he's a snake oil salesman who turned Brady into an effing weirdo. Now, most of America probably don't even know who Guerrero is or care. That was perfect. That's what Guerrero is. I mean, he's been busted before for selling, fake cures and all that. And he's the reason Brady became such a weirdo. I mean, it worked. Brady's, loyal to him. He believes in him. And Brady wildly succeeded after hooking up with Guerrero. But that's what he is, a snake oil salesman who turned Brady into a weirdo. It was perfect.
I enjoyed Belichick's Guerrero joke, too. Like he said, people always say that me and Brady butt heads, but we didn't have time to with his head so far up Guerrero's ass.
That's true. That was very good. A lot of jokes about Belichick being unemployed and, saying, do your job. Well, you don't have a job anymore, coach. A lot of jokes like that. And I'm looking forward to further fallout as people who missed this check it out. Because I want it to offend all the right people. And I think it will. I think this ESPN guy is not alone. Yeah. There's going to be people really offended by all the gay jokes, yep. The trans jokes. By the way, the trans Sam J, are you a big Sam J fan, Ironhead?
I'm not, but she definitely opened up everyone to some funny jokes last night, for sure.
A black trans woman who is, I'm sure, the top of the list for anything Netflix does. We got to get the black trans woman.
I think just a lesbian.
She looks trans, whatever. She was good. She was so crude and just mm-hmm. so vulgar. Mm-hmm. She made Brady uncomfortable, which is the whole point. She was good. And a lot of jokes. I mean, she's from Boston. A lot of dumb jokes about black, white race jokes about Boston. But I wasn't offended. I didn't get offended. I didn't get triggered. I was okay. I didn't get hurt. But this is going to not only get these massive numbers, it's going to start something. Feels like they're going to look at the success of this and say, we need more live, just crazy, wild, crude roasts or, comedy shows. You know, let's just go there. Screw these people. Are they going to walk out of the Netflix office today? Are they going to walk out and protest at the trans jokes or the gay jokes or the 9/11 jokes? Because I hope they do. I hope they're all offended. But it was just awesome. I might watch it again.
I probably will too. But this is Nikki Glaser making fun of Gronk, Brady, and SBF.
Oh, good. Yeah, there were some good SBF jokes. Brady, except let's get one thing straight. Brady didn't lose $30 million. He made money. He got paid like $10 million by that fraudster SBF. And he said nothing about it. He's getting sued, and he should. But there were a lot of good crypto jokes mocking Brady, including from Nikki Glaser. How long did she speak? Like 5 minutes?
I think everyone got like 7 to 10.
7 minutes. She was just spectacular. I mean, one home run after another. She's great. She was great at this. And she made Brady uncomfortable. Let's watch.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like...
Yeah, I tell you what, Gronk's going to be part of these. Everyone laughed at that. She was good. She was really good. But
I know you weren't a fan of his set, but when Tony said, Gronk, I'm glad you took a break from writing letters to Santa.
I mean, did that make you laugh?
You just don't think it's funny because you said it wasn't funny and you have to die on that hill now.
No, I just watched the 2 minute video you tweeted out of Kill Tony. I didn't even get a chuckle. It was lame. He was lame.
That's just not true. I think he was unanimous. I'll put out a poll on the show Twitter account and we
don't
tell
care.
Us.
You know,
tell us.
Okay, I'll say this again. I don't think he bombed. I don't think it was bad. He just wasn't the best. It's overrated. Mm. Edelman was better. This brain damage wide receiver.
Here's him doing his Belichick impression, which is pretty spot on.
It is. Go ahead.
You remember when you used to yell at us, look, assholes, the f***ing kids down at Foxborough High can make that f***ing play.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Look, asshole, Foxborough High is the only job offer you f***ing had.
He was good. I didn't even think Edelman didn't even appear to be reading from the teleprompter. He was just winging it.
Speaking from the heart.
He was so good at that, man. And in that crowd, you know, you're up there with Jeff Ross and Kevin Hart and Kill Tony and Andrew Schultz. He was the best. He was the best. Who do you think? You think Kill Tony was better than Julian Edelman?
Oh, but yeah, by far.
Oh, stop.
By far. But I did enjoy Dana White's shot at the... at Netflix.
This was good. Yeah, this was good and uncomfortable.
Not my thing, so I'm going to keep this short like Gronk's bus. Actually, let me get into this real quick. It pisses me off. I flew all the way out here, and you guys give me 60 seconds? My name is Dana. Is that not trans enough for you liberal fucks?
He's looking at the camera talking about Netflix. That's good. And I think he was genuinely pissed. Like, I get 1 minute? I get 1 minute? And who are the two guys, the two podcasters?
Oh, they didn't do it. They bombed. Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer.
I didn't get half their jokes. Yeah,
they weren't fun. It was just going up there just calling Tom Brady Hitler. Like, that was the joke.
Compared Brady to Hitler. It was dumb.
I will say Bert Kreischer tanked that whole segment. I felt bad for Tom Segura having to be up there with him.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable, but for the most part, everybody exceeded expectations. You got to see it. And let's just hope more liberals get triggered, because that's what I'm here for. And it's going to stay up, right? Everyone's going to see it. It's going to get 100 million views.
Easily.
And again, Brady agreed to this. I don't know how much he got paid. I don't know how much his charity made, but he agreed to this, and that takes some balls, because... not many people would. Not many people will. And there were a lot of people early on saying he's regretting it because he was looking. Sometimes he wasn't laughing. I think in the end, Brady likes to, you know, rule the world. He likes to be larger than life and kind of bigger than anybody. And he is. You know, he is. There's nobody. Maybe LeBron. Maybe, I don't know, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods would never agree to that.
No, there's no shot.
It would be good. It'd be fun, but he would never agree to it. But maybe someone else will, and they'll get this cast, this crew together. And it was awesome. Anyway, we got to move on. There's lots more awesome this weekend. Unbelievable. We got to get to Christy Noem, who is a psychopath. Do you know she was in Palm Beach? They had this retreat with all the potential VPs. You know, my man J.D. Vance and Byron Donalds and Tim Scott, they were all down in Palm Beach talking, you know, getting vetted by Trump. She was there. I'm telling you. Right now, Nikki Glaser has a better shot of being VP than Christy Noem, but she was still down there. We'll give you the latest from this absolutely insane person. And I went over to MIT to check out the Hamas encampment. It's incredible. I'll just tell you this. The Hamas encampment at MIT is a few feet away from where Islamic terrorists killed MIT police officer Sean Collier, executed him in his cruiser. And they have this whole setup, tents and signs, people wearing the Hamas scarves just a few feet from the murder scene. I mean, just the fact that they did that is offensive, but the Jewish kids, the good guys, they are fighting back on MIT, but there's some developments here at Columbia, at Harvard, that you're just not going to believe. We'll get to that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait till the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait till the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry. All right, man, we got to move here. I got so much to get to. We got to get to Mark Hamill, too. You know what? That might be the cringiest moment of the weekend. Mark Hamill at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Is he even a star? I mean, I know he was in some movie 50 years ago, but is he really a Hollywood star, Mark Hamill?
Luke Skywalker might be the most beloved character in like the history of movies.
Somebody got booed in the White House press room because they hadn't seen Star Wars. I'm with her. I have never seen. I have no interest in Star Wars. I don't like space, and I don't like Nikki Haley. I mean Nikki Haley. What's different? Christy Noem. God, this woman is insane. As we talked about last week,
yeah.
Her new memoir. She's had two memoirs now. Memoirs. The governor of South Dakota, and her latest is full of lies. It's called whatever it's called, No Backing Down or something. She thinks she's on the rise, you know? She thinks she's going places. She's done. She's deader than cricket. Her career is, I can't even imagine her getting elected statewide in South Dakota anymore. She's such a lunatic. So she puts out the book and she gets mocked for killing the dog and other things. In the book, she brags about staring down Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. She just made it up. She never did that. She never met Kim Jong-un. She got caught. And keep this in mind. She didn't just write it in the book. You can't blame it on a ghostwriter. I mean, you could say, oh, yeah, a ghostwriter screwed up. She did the audio version of this book. She read this passage into a recorder and put out an audio version in her own words. She's a complete lunatic. So she goes on Face the Nation Margaret Brennan, whatever her name is, just a typical committed Biden supporter who pretends to be a news anchor, goes on there every Sunday on Face the Nation, does her best to help the Biden campaign, just what you'd expect, like Stephanopoulos and all the rest of them. But she agrees to go on because she's pushing a book. I'm guessing she has some regrets about this. This was the most disastrous interview I've ever seen. I can't even think of anybody who just shot themselves in the head on live TV quite like this. It's uncomfortable to watch, but it's great. She can't answer the question. Did you actually meet with Kim Jong-un? Let's watch.
Talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book. And as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted.
Adjusted. She can't just say, no, I made it up, I guess. And you go on this show, and after the show, she complained. She tweeted out how Brennan interrupted her 72 times and doesn't do that to Democrats. Of course not. She's a Democrat. But you agreed to go on a show to promote a book in which you wrote that you met with Kim Jong-un. Of course they're going to ask you if it's true, if you actually did that, knowing you didn't. What did you expect? Is this Kristi Noem?
This is the publisher.
This is the announcement. At the request of Governor Noem, we're removing the passage regarding Kim Jong-un from her book. So you made it up, and you thought no one would notice? Gee, the governor of South Dakota said she met with this murderous dictator from the other side of the world. Who would notice that? I mean, this is Biden-esque. This is insane. This person's insane. By the way, her book seems to me, I haven't read it, I don't plan to. The whole, you know, thrust of it is show everyone what a tough leader who makes hard decisions and all that. That's why she wrote about shooting cricket or dog, killing her dog because it killed a chicken. You put that in there. That wasn't dug up by some enterprising reporter, you know, some Democrat operative with a press pass who went to South Dakota and dug into your past. You wrote that. You revealed that. And then she says things, oh, it was 20 years ago. So why is it in there? To make her look tough. She has a chapter in the book titled Bad Day to Be a Goat, in which she brags about killing an unruly goat. So she's killing dogs, killing goats, and staring down Kim Jong-un. And then at the end, she offers to kill Joe Biden's dog, which probably not a bad idea. Joe Biden, they finally removed that feral beast from the White House after it bit 11 Secret Service agents. Sean Hannity reports that it bit 24. But they officially admit it bit 11. What dog is allowed to bite 11 people and not be taken away or put down? I mean, the dog, Biden's dog, and they mocked Kristi Noem, by the way, the White House. Biden's dog, if you put that down, people would understand. It's biting everybody, and it's a German Shepherd. But he needed a prop, so he pretended it was his dog. So they finally got rid of that. That's two dogs that they've got rid of because they won't stop biting people. And Kristi Noem offers to kill it. She's, you know, glad this all came out. I can't imagine if Trump had picked her and then this came out.
Bad.
It'd be really, I'm glad she did this. I'm glad she revealed herself. And by the way, she had an affair with Corey Lewandowski too. Typical, you know, real down home, you know, good, wholesome, conservative family values and all that. She is such a fraud. And it's good to see her squirm. It's good to see her done, essentially, as a viable candidate for national office. All right, we got to move. I got to tell you about my visit to the MIT, Hamas and Kamen, and all the latest. The terrorists are winning. Bad news. The terrorists are winning.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. Breaking, they canceled graduation at Columbia. This is incredible. I mean, you have to stand up to these people. We saw them up close. We saw them storm Hamilton Hall. We've seen them chant everything, kill the Jews and everything else. And now you're acquiescing to their demands. I've gone over this enough. We understand. The professors, the faculty, the administration, the presidents, they stand with the terrorists. They stand with the pro-Hamas crowd. And now they're giving in, canceling graduation. For Klein, I know Columbia has a lot of lunatics, but there has to be some real students there who are looking forward to graduation with their families. And they called it off. They did it at USC. And they're going to continue to do it because they're out there disrupting graduate. They disrupted Michigan's, a full stadium, 100,000 people or whatever it was. And they marched through the crowd with their flags, chanting, you know, death to Israel. But they went on, they you know, got them out of there and they went on with graduation. You have to. You can't do this. But they're doing it. They're giving in to these lunatics who are just feeling emboldened. I think my favorite, before I get to MIT, is the student at Princeton, once respected Ivy League institution. Right now, the protest has taken a new shape at Princeton. They're on a hunger strike, which I'm sure is bullshit. I'm sure they're just pretending. But here we have a Ironhead lookalike, leader of the resistance at Princeton, a Princeton student, giving us an update on their hunger strike, which is, I believe, allegedly in the third day. Does anyone believe that a college student could not eat or drink anything for 3 days? Do you think this guy has eaten nothing for 3 days? Does anyone believe that? But they're not going to eat until Princeton divests. The clown show is just out of control right now. Let's watch this clown.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. We really appreciate all the support the community has been showing us in our hunger strike. It's been incredible. You know, we have people regularly checking our vitals. We have people, you know, constantly worried about us, setting up, you know, structures for us. We have people donating stuff all the time, like rain boots, you know, all the stuff that we need to stay warm. And so, you know, we really feel humbled because we're undertaking this action in solidarity with the Palestinian people. But what we know is that the starvation faced by the Palestinian people, they are not as supported as we are. So we should always center that and remember them in our hearts, inshallah. May Allah, you know, always make us among those who, you know, feel the pain of the Palestinian people and remember the saying of our Prophet Sallallahu that, you know, when one part of our ummah feels pain, we all feel pain. So that we just want to make sure that, you know, everyone is centering the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine in their hearts. And, you know, when you do that, please come and show your support. We always need more numbers here. It's always amazing to have people, you know, amplifying our message because that's how we put pressure on the university.
Bring pizza. Bring pizza, please.
I just like the, we have people coming and checking our vitals. It's like
giving rain boots. Oh, thank God you had rain boots. So I go to MIT. I ride my bike over to check it out. It's just the most depressing place. They're all just laying around with their scarves on and all their signs and you know, death to Israel. And they're in an encampment. Oh, yeah, this is great video. We'll get to it. At MIT, it's not big. It's a fenced-in area. They got all their signs and their Palestinian flag and their tents. And it was like middle of the day. It was probably noontime. And it was just, they're like they're college students who didn't get enough sleep. They're all kind of slinking around, all, you know, tired and pretending. It's just such, it's such an act. But the good guys fought back. The fence that encloses the encampment is covered with Israeli flags and signs detailing the things Hamas did and pictures of all the victims on October 7th. They have a whole lawn with faces and pictures of all the hostages. It's just nice to see somebody remember the hostages, because none of these people give a damn about the hostages. They don't even mention them, none of them. Here's a video, if you're watching, of one of the Hamas holes taking down an Israeli flag and an American flag and throwing them in the trash. That's why I went there. This was, I believe, Friday. I wanted to see if this person was still around. She probably pays no price. Some kid at Mississippi, University of Ole Miss, allegedly made a monkey sound, and that's got the media all upset and up in an uproar. That is worse than people at MIT chanting death to Zionists, people saying death to the Jews. The media doesn't get triggered by that, but a kid supposedly, you know, with an American flag making a monkey sound, that's the real controversy. So here's the, is this the video of the kid walking through?
No, this was the chants at MIT.
Oh, yes. In case you want to know, that some of it's in Arabic, I believe, but they're chanting death to Zionists, which is everybody who believes Israel has a right to exist. At MIT, a few feet from where Islamic terrorists killed Sean Collier. Play it. Just loppers, you know, cosplaying clowns. Just all around them, by the way, these pictures of the hostages, which is great. And the cops are all over. There's like five cops standing right there, so they can't rip down all the flags. Although that woman did. Maybe she picked the moment when the cops were at lunch break or something. But it's a real showdown on the campus of MIT. These are supposed to be the smartest kids in the world. And they're out there chanting death to Zionists. In a related development, on Friday, I believe, there was a convoy of aid trucks being driven into from Egypt to Gaza. And there were Israeli soldiers, IDF guys, facilitating this, you know, because they're committing genocide. Like any country committing genocide, they were making sure the people they're genociding get plenty to eat. So they're sending in aid trucks, which are hijacked by Hamas. Hamas fired rockets at the aid trucks, killing Israeli soldiers. So Israeli soldiers died trying to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza, to civilians in Gaza. They get killed by Hamas. And these clowns are out there chanting and cheering and saying, we love Hamas. It is just sick, sick, disgusting stuff on our campuses right now. And it's everywhere. We have these kids.
Yeah.
These are kids. What would you say? 10, 12 years old?
At most.
In St. Louis. Kids. Yeah. And obviously, you have adults there who are teaching them, filling their minds full of bile. And they're chanting and cheering for Hamas. Young, you know, like, whatever, fifth graders. Watch this.
The children united!
The children united!
We'll never be defeated!
We'll never be defeated! Hey, hey, ho, ho!
Zionism has got to go!
Zionism has got to go!
It's insane. That's
Let me just say, most of the kids at MIT and Harvard and Columbia don't even know what Zionism is. They're stupid. These are 10-year-olds. Chanting Zionism has got to go in America. And by the way, the banner they're carrying says Free Palestine in rainbow colors. So these children are being told that, you know, standing up for gay rights is like standing up for, you know, Hamas. And we wonder, what happened? How did these kids at college get so twisted? This is how they indoctrinate them. They get them when they're 10 years old. That is insane stuff right there in St. Louis, Missouri. That is frightening. We could do this all day. I don't have time, but there was just so much. It's just getting crazier and crazier. Do we have time for Mark Hamill?
Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah,
this was at the White House. This is Biden administration idea. Let's bring out this guy, this nobody who was in a movie 50 years ago. Quick, Ironhead, you're a big Mark Hamill fan. Name his second most popular movie.
His second most popular role is the Joker in the cartoon version of Batman.
Okay, I made my point. There's nobody who's not aging well.
No.
And they bring him out, and it was the cringiest until the roast. Well, until I saw the new Seinfeld movie. This was the cringiest moment of the weekend. Let's watch this has-been go out there and, you know, make the case for Joe Biden.
There's no introduction that really is needed here. I have a special guest, as you can see. Mark Hamill has decided to join us on this wonderful Friday, and I am really excited to turn it over to Mr. Hamill. Here we go.
How many of you had Mark Hamill lead the press briefing on your bingo card? Hands? Yeah, me either. And look, I just got to meet the president, and he gave me these aviator glasses.
Oh, yeah. What a treasure.
I love the merch. Love it all. But listen, I just wanted to say I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president.
Winded.
The most legislative successful president in my lifetime.
Why?
And, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that, inflation, 15 million jobs. It's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea.
He is a bad actor.
I have no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis. So that's pretty much it. I'm open to questions, although no Star Wars questions, please. But I want to say once again.
Anybody who says the bingo card line is just, you know, pathetic. I didn't have it on my bingo card. That's so just trite. He didn't even prepare for this. This is their idea of bringing out the big guns. That was worse than anyone at the roast. That was just unintentionally cringe. God, he is pathetic. But that was the big moment for. I guess it was May the 4th be with you day, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, well, all the Star Wars fans. There's your guy right there. Not aging well.
I was a Vader guy myself.
You're a Vader guy. They should have brought Vader out. Or is he dead?
James Earl Jones. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, they would have been. Or Harrison Ford or somebody, anybody. Bring out R2-D2 instead of this guy. Boy, he was bad. Anyway, that's all they got. Aviator glasses and Mark Hamill bragging about the CHIPS Act. That's what they got. Can't quite understand why Joe Biden's numbers are tanking. Just don't get it. Anyway, we got to leave it there. I'm going to go wait to find more people triggered by the Brady roast. I'm so looking forward to that. That's the best part. Mm-hmm. Waiting for people who are just so offended. And they're coming. They're out there. And we'll hear stories about, you know, tension behind the scenes. That's going to be good. People back at the party afterwards. Just, it's going to be good. It was just great. But that'll do it. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.